It's all coming right now. This is when the excitement begins. We've got Kathy and we've got Dr. Malcolm in the studio. Before we get to the important stuff, Dr. Malcolm, we have to ask. We were talking about the wonderful new South Dakota meth campaign, which I'm sure you saw going super viral. Meth, we're on it.
You're have on you meth? Seen that? Good to know.
Have you not seen the ads
you're,
yet?
You're on meth? Let me get you my business card. Okay. No, I have not seen the campaign.
Oh my gosh,
is
you
were
going to love it. No, that's the whole, literally the ad is, it just says meth, we're on it. So it has like a cowboy and says meth, we're on it. It says I'm on it.
Oh my gosh.
And then
gosh.
It has a football team. And it like.
Oh yeah, my gosh, look at that.
That's their ad. And so the whole thing is them, like in the commercial, they're like, I'm on it. And it's like, we all need to be on top of it. Like, meth is our issue. Oh, so we are on it as a state. But of course, it's getting mocked everywhere because it's just
it
like,
just looks,
look at that.
Just
football
the way I
player.
Just mocked you.
Meth, we're on it.
Well, of course,
as a marketing, as a marketing person, all I can say is, oh my.
They spent $470,000
oh
on
my.
That ad
wow.
campaign. So
look
yeah, it's
that.
A big one, but yeah, they're on it. But so they're all on meth. We were talking about that. And somebody from California wanted to know how, when they present themselves, what is the difference between somebody, they use the offensive term crackhead. I would say crack user, a crack user or abuser, and a methamphetamine addict. When they present themselves, what are the physical differences if you had to look at a stereotypical meth addict versus crack addict?
So typically methamphetamine people, not always, but typically, they're going to have those classic sores on their skin where they're picking. They're often emaciated, or not always. Not all people who use meth lose a ton of weight.
We found a guy today in a story that the cops arrested at a McDonald's, 380 pounds, 5'8", and he had a ton of meth hidden in his belly button and a syringe hanging out of his arm.
Lovely. So, that sounds.
But yeah,
I gotta be looking at the news stories.
Huge.
Yeah, we're looking at the wrong news.
I know. I got the good ones for you.
Wow, good. Excellent. So typically, people who use methamphetamine, they're gonna have, especially if they're smoking it, they're also gonna have some teeth damage.
Yeah.
And so those are the stereotypical things you see with
and
someone
the twitch,
who's,
right? Don't they usually?
Sometimes there's twitchy, especially if they're coming down. They might be. Also, they can feel like stuff is crawling under their skin, so they might be scratching or fidgety like that. Crack. So it's going to look a little bit different, although we haven't had as much crack.
I was just going to say, I was like, do we even crack? And that's why I got, she's from California, so I understand her asking.
Right.
She's like, where I'm from, you know, but I'm like, yeah, we don't see, or at least I don't hear a lot about crack here.
Right. It's not as common in Billings. But I mean, it's similar. So they're going to also look, especially if they're going through withdrawal, they're going to look like maybe a little restless, fidgety, maybe some cold sweat, some anxiety, agitation. But they don't necessarily have those physical characteristics of the rotting teeth, the skin picking. Although, again, that's not all people who use meth end up looking like that. And I think that's shocking because people will say, I mean, I have a couple of patients right now who methamphetamine is probably their drug of choice, but they don't look like that. And so you wouldn't necessarily know that. And I think that's what it can be very disconcerting to people is like you don't always, I mean, that's why I love the picture. Well, Kathy knows the picture of like the meth lab, the picture with the chocolate lab and the yellow lab. And then there's the meth lab and the meth lab doggy looks a little funny, but you don't always know that someone uses
that chocolate lab could be
that
on
chocolate. That. Could, it could be, but you, I mean, that's the thing. You don't always know. And I think that's what people need to be aware of. You don't always know.
That's a good point.
Malcolm. What are the main like personality trait differences between someone who's on crack and someone who's on meth? Like,
they'll both
can
steal
you tell,
all your stuff.
Can you tell differences in like abusers that way too?
Not that I would recognize. Certainly because, first of all, when someone's abusing a substance, their personality is going to change. So the way they used to be may not be the way they are now. So really what you would want to see in terms of personality is a significant change. Now, typically, not always, but typically, all people who are going to be using a substance, they might be a little bit color outside the lines. They might be a little bit more of, I'm going to stretch the boundaries of normal and accepted. You don't find those color inside the lines people often using the methamphetamine or the crack. They might be using something more socially acceptable, right? So you look for a change in the personality, not necessarily specific traits, but a change. And the change is often they start lying, they start manipulating situations, and they stop being accountable to the things that they used to be accountable for. Oh, you're finger pointing now. I love this studio. We're on meth and we're finger pointing.
I feel like you're
this
describing him
like
over
this.
Here. Yeah, what are more signs of changes though? So he's not accountable.
Not accountable.
Lying, manipulating.
Not following through. Things that you used to do on a regular basis, people stop doing it. So if they used to be very engaged in their family, they stop doing that. It's no longer interesting. They no longer get the benefit from doing that. They're not going to work the way they used to. Doing things outside their value value system.
We'll see you guys.
He's leaving. Nope, I'm out of here.
Peace out.
So I mean, any significant behavioral change in a person, that's what you're going to see. Because it does. It changes them. And we really see those changes in the brain in areas that might relate to personality, that relate to motivation, that relate to drive. All those things are going to change. So it's really, you look for a change in their personality.
Yeah. That makes sense, too. Yeah, instead of just trying to pinpoint, like, I know that this is what it looks like, pinpoint why did this person change?
Exactly.
Why did she go from being so this to all of a sudden something
so
different?
Well, even in all of the meth commercials, you see the physical change of this is how they used to be, this is how they are now, and obviously that's a huge, you know, you can tell right away.
Those before and afters you see online where they
share
the
amazing,
normal
right?
looking people, mm-hmm. you know, and then years later,
even not even years, it can be really short,
whoa,
too.
Oh, yeah. Right. It's great. How is it, though? As somebody asked on the app, how is it somebody that's 5'8 and 380 pounds does meth? Like, how are certain people able to do meth and maintain a morbid obesity while as others lose the weight?
So the first thing I would say is, how much was he using? How often was he using, right? So how much and how often were they using? The other thing is what I find fascinating. I'm going to get all super excited.
She's a doctor!
I get too energized about stuff like this. So looking at too how each person, we all have our own genetic susceptibility and resilience to different things. So just like one person can have a beer and, oh, that was nice. It was nice. Beer. It was fine. Another person has a beer and their brain lights up and they got to have another and another and another. So same thing when you think about that. You know, everyone's physiological response to whether it's methamphetamine or crack or any type of medication, honestly, might be different. It might fall outside those normal limits. Kathy and I were actually talking about this on the way over here. We were talking about the DEA drug take back day. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about medications in general, how some people, they take, say, an opiate, OxyContin or whatever, and it lights them up. Other people take it and they're like, ugh, I did not like that. Mm-hmm. And so when you find someone who is obese and they're using meth, I would say they probably have a different physiological response to that substance that falls outside what was normally expected.
Well, look at that.
Right?
Yeah. Look at what you learned
today.
She
should be a doctor.
She should be a doctor.
I should go work on that. Yeah. Let me put that on my to-do list.
Look at you go. So we said, Matt Uncle, are those reversible changes, the personality ones, with somebody using like that?
Sure.
Do those? Yeah, do those when you get off, you go back to your previous state?
Correct. So here's what I love about recovery. I'm getting all excited again. You've got to get me like a trampoline I can jump up and down on in here. So what I love about recovery is that when people really commit to recovery and changing, your brain does heal. Your body can heal. Kath and I were talking about that too. One of the things I love about RimRock when we work is so many of our staff are in recovery, mm-hmm. right? And so they can tell you, you know, I can go from the very, you know, not just rock bottom, but rock bottom, I grabbed a shovel and dug some more. But if I can crawl out of it and get my life together, so can you. I love that. When you mm-hmm. have the right support, when you have the right treatment, when you have those things, absolutely, recovery can happen. It does happen every day. And that's what I think people lose sight of. If I'm at rock bottom, I mean, we all have those cases of the efforts, right? Like the way efforts. I didn't actually say the word. I know that I'm on the air, efforts.
Thank you.
But
you're
very welcome. We all have those days, though, where we're just like, ugh, I am not into
I'm
this.
Done.
Like, I do not feel like adulting today. We all have that day, right?
I have it Monday through Saturday.
Monday through Saturday,
yeah.
right? Sunday's a good day for you.
Some
good
days,
to know.
Yeah.
Well aware. So we all have those periods. And so if you have the right support around you, whether it's your counselor, your peer support, your family, your 12-step, whoever it is, those people can help motivate you and keep you on track. Because that's the key thing when it comes to recovery, is you want that long-term recovery. I mean, anybody can get clean and sober, right? Yes, I've done it 12 times already, right? Anyone can do it. Staying clean and sober, that's what's hard. And that's why you need to have a comprehensive support around you to help keep you on track.
And that's why I live in the moment. I don't live in the past, Dr. Malcolm, or in the future. I live today.
You're mindful.
Today is a good day.
Right?
It's true. And we talk
day.
About that, too. Yeah, what are you going to do today? And we can get through today. Tomorrow I'll take care of itself.
Our friend John on the app said, oh, my God, I love Malcolm. Saw her during Leadership Billings earlier this month. She was great. She helped me realize that alcohol makes my brain light up. I haven't had a drink in 2 weeks.
Wow. Check you out. Good
very
job.
Cool.
Give you her name so you can send her an invoice. We will be billing you, John, for 2 weeks of sobriety.
Gratitude and congratulations.
That's right.
Like, good job.
Oh,
yeah. Well done.
Look at you go. Could you tell, do you think, by looking at her that alcohol lights your brain up? You are the
I
one.
I don't have that radar. No. I left that in my other pants.
You all light up. You do not, sir. I can tell. Yeah. Somebody else said 28 months meth free for me. Congratulations.
Good for you. Yeah. Congratulations.
That's a long time
months.
Of sobriety right there.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
That
well
is very
done.
Incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just always so impressed. Let's talk about drug take back very quick. Did we get them all back?
We got them all back.
We took them all back?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Drugs. Yeah. Every single one of them.
If you remember, it was in October. October, and it was freezing cold.
Yes.
And we still had a great day. We had 122 pounds at the Heights location.
Holy cow.
And the Elks Club had 458 pounds. And so It's amazing. And we were, again, talking on the way over. What I love about it is people come in and sometimes they just want to talk. I had this in my cabinet and my loved one passed away, and thank you for doing this, and they just want to talk. But it's so great to just see that much more out of people's medicine cabinets, and just the DEA agents are amazing. Our staff love to go there because we get 2 or 4 hours of them just talking to us about what's really happening in the world of, you know, drugs out on the streets. And it's just a win-win for everybody, and it's a great community service. We'll be there in April again. So
there you go. Yeah. If you got your stuff, everybody,
bring it on
ready.
Down.
Yeah. Hold on to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I just love everything. I love all the positive stories that we get to hear coming out of Rimrock. You guys do
amazing.
Good work.
Yeah,
we try.
We do try.
Okay, good. I'm proud of you guys. Yeah.
Thanks for trying. Yeah.
Let's talk about, people ask a lot. Oh, somebody asked on the app too. I got to ask, do you deal with food addiction?
Absolutely. Okay. So that's actually one of my wheelhouses. I would say probably a third of my current caseload have eating issues.
And full disclosure, she's never struggled with this problem. Looking at Dr. Malcolm, this is not something she struggled with and now is helping others. This is something she just knows about.
We look at, absolutely. You know, and Kath and I are talking about this too. We do a lot of talking.
We do.
Food is one of those, I guess I'll use the word addiction, that is accepted. I mean, you look at our diet industry, you look at our exercise industry, it can be really hard to say, is this behavior outside normal limits? Because our version of normal in this society is a little odd, to put it mildly. Mm-hmm. And so it's also one of those things kind of like smoking or vaping that's acceptable, right? I can go to a restaurant and order, you know, let's have the lettuce with a lemon wedge on the side. I can't have any gluten. I can't have carbs or whatever it is. Or we go to the gym for an hour every day and people say, hey, wow, look at you being all healthy. That person might be miserable inside.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And again, you don't always know. You might look at someone and say, oh, look at them. They've got they're so fit and they're so healthy and blah, blah, blah. They might be miserable inside. They might be miserable counting the calories, obsessing, worried. I knew one girl, I've known several, but one in particular that comes to my head, she would get on the scale every morning. And depending on what that number said, she'd have a good day or a bad day.
Right?
If you think about that, you know, that's how different is that from someone who says, if I can have my beer, I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. If I can have my meth, I'll be okay. And so it's really from a neurological perspective, eating disorders are not different when it comes to addiction.
I talked to my therapist and he knows some stuff about addiction and stuff, and we talked about my food stuff and he's just like, that's straight up addiction. Like, I mean, the fact that I will like go so far out of my way to get, and then also the fact that I can be so good and then when I break down like an addict, I go full. It's not like I taste a little. It's not like, you know what, I've been sober for 6 months, I'm going to have a beer. It's like any other addiction. It's like, I'm having a cake. Yeah.
Right.
Same thing where I'm like, I've been eating pretty healthy. Like, I'm going to have a piece of pizza. No, I'm going to eat a whole pizza.
Right.
Exactly. Or the whole bag of Oreos.
Right. Yeah. Right. After the pizza.
And I love that you said good. You know, I'm going to be good. And that's the other thing, particularly for women who tend to have more incidence of substance or eating disorder issues with women than with men.
Yeah, I'm very much
you
like
do
a
see
woman.
It in men, but you do also, women are more, you know, good or bad. So I'm a good person if I eat all healthy, all organic, right? Exercise, right? Don't do that. I'm a good person. So we really attach this identity of I'm good or bad, I'm healthy or unhealthy based on my intake that day. And it's really important to understand food is just food.
It's just fuel.
Right?
Fuel just for your
fuel.
Body.
And certainly there's better choices or worse choices, but it's unhealthy to not occasionally have the Oreo or the cheeseburger. Like, that is perfectly okay.
But for us addicts, Malcolm, sometimes that doesn't work that way.
Sure. And the way,
it's like an alcoholic having a beer. It's just
beer.
Sometimes
that's
we
don't
touch it.
And that's one of the reasons that eating disorders are a little more complicated, because you can live without beer. You can't live
without food.
That's true.
Right?
I tell myself
that
every day.
So one of my eating disorder patients, one time she actually said, treatment for me is like teaching the alcoholic, you're going to have a beer at breakfast, a beer at lunch, a beer at dinner, and a shot every once in a while during the day just to keep your energy up. And that's when, for treatment for an eating disorder person, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying eating disorder person, instead of person with an eating disorder.
Yeah, we get what you're saying. Yeah.
You're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
And so recognizing that, it is, it's not... because you can't avoid food, right? Mm-hmm. And a healthy life means I'm eating a healthy balance of things. I'm exercising a healthy balance. And so it's finding that balance really hard, right?
All balance. Exactly. Somebody said, what about mental health? Let's talk about that. We brought up a lot of addiction. You guys can handle both, right?
You can handle
mental health and addiction.
I'm an equal opportunity counselor.
Look
I will treat
go.
Anything.
What do you not treat? I mean, I feel like that's a better thing. Like, is there something that if they
kids,
call you, go
kids.
Like, go
I
to
don't
California?
Do kids. Okay. I'm not into treatment for kids. That's just not
your wheelhouse.
Not my wheelhouse. Often because I don't want to deal with the parents, honestly. But kids are not my wheelhouse. So I treat lots of mental health. All of my patients, with the exception of one, have a mental health diagnosis. And so,
does that one brag a lot?
I'm the one.
Yeah, I am Malcolm's one. And so actually me, and then I have four counselors that work under me. We're all dual licensed, meaning that we're licensed as substance use counselors and mental health counselors. And so we treat both, and we do inpatient and outpatient. So I would actually say probably 90% of my caseload are not Rimrock people for any other thing. They just we heard this Malcolm chick was a decent counselor. I'm going to try to
get on right. Her.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's good that you say that. So, I mean, there are people, as somebody said, can you help with severe depression? So people like that thinking, Rimrock, I'm not an addict, though I shouldn't call them. Don't call them for your depression.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So we treat mental health. We treat substance use. And one of the things that I like to plug about Rimrock, lots of things, but one of the big ones is that because we are at a facility, so people might say, why would I go to Rimrock instead of going to like Joe Blow private practice, right? Because
Dr. Blow. Dr. Blow, Joe's
good
great.
To know,
Joe's
right? Good. Excellent. A little full disclosure there. So what I like is that if you came in and saw me, say, major depression, lots of depression, et cetera, et cetera, we have this fabulous referral source called peer support specialists. Mm-hmm. So recognizing that as a counselor, I'm pretty good at what I do, but I'm not everything, right? And so peer support specialists, I can say, okay, here's someone who is in recovery from a substance use issue or a mental health issue. They've been there, walk the walk, talk the talk. They can help you as well. So they can have a cup of coffee with you. They can go to a meeting with you. They can do those types of things. That it's a little different than counseling, right? Because sometimes we feel like, oh my gosh, what do you know about what I'm going through? You have no idea. Whereas if you're talking to a peer support specialist, who they have been through it. Exactly. They know what it's like. Oh, now I've got some hope. Now I've got some hope for change. And so one of the reasons that I love being at Rimrock with the whole continuum is I can refer to peer support. I can refer for medication-assisted treatment. I can refer you for a motivational enhancement group. I can refer you for a parenting group. There's other things we can do.
What is a motivational enhancement group? That sounds like something I would enjoy.
So motivational interviewing is a therapeutic technique that actually helps people find why would I be internally motivated to do something. Because, right, so if you tell me to do something, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Watch. Buckle up, buttercup.
Just because you're a doctor.
Right? Don't listen to her. She's blonde. What does she know? Versus where I can say, okay, why do I want to make this change? Right? Let's just take the example of eating better. Why do I want to do that? Well, because my doctor tells me or my pants don't fit or whatever. But if I can identify within myself why I might want that change, now I have motivation. So when people talk about, you know, I got sober, you know, 6 or 7 times, but I can never stay sober. It's usually because they're lacking not only that motivation, but that support to keep that motivation up. And so peer support can be a lot more flexible in what they can do. Right?
Almost like a sponsor.
Kind of like a sponsor. Very similar to that. And so, and they go through a special training. They have a certificate from the state. So it's not just anybody. They actually have to have training for it. They have supervision. So I like that I can say, you know, I'm a pretty decent counselor, right? But one of my favorite sayings is that evidence-based care is a team sport. It's not just
Look
about me, right? It's who else can I bring in? Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to complex issues such as mental health and substance use. We know there's not one answer, right? There's usually several things that need to happen for that person to get better. And so I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to be able to do all of that.
Kathy can,
yeah. Right? She's my backup.
Yeah.
But what's really great about that is, and Malcolm has talked about this at a lot of the presentations that we do, is because we have so many dual-licensed counselors, when you're in addiction treatment, and Malcolm can explain this better probably than I could, but if someone, we've talked to them, we realize that they have a depression issue, and you can't go, oh, wait a minute, I can't talk about that because I'm not licensed for that. Where Malcolm's team can. They can say, great, let's also treat that. Let's look at that, rather than saying, okay, now I need to make an appointment with another person. That's what's great about Rimrock is we have all of those inner pieces together.
And I can walk you down the hall and say, hey, I really want you to talk to this person. And I can do that warm handoff, because that's scary.
Huge.
It is scary to say, I'm not doing well, I need help. That is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if I don't know the person. And so, you know, if I can say, hey, Kathy, it's going to be okay. Let me walk you down the hall and introduce you to XYZ peer support specialist. They're going to meet with you on Thursday to do da, 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 da. That makes it a lot safer, right? Mm-hmm. And I want people to really understand change is scary, especially when, for a lot of people, recovery from either mental health or substance use, it's a huge part of their identity. Mm-hmm. And so they're really giving up part of who they are and how they've lived their life for sometimes decades, honestly. And so I want to give them every nugget of support that I possibly can.
Give those nuggets. If somebody has, whether they're an addict and already have been thinking about it, maybe they didn't even think of what they're doing as an addiction and realize now that it maybe is, or they're just dealing with some mental health issues, what's the best way to, like, what's the best first step to get a hold of? Do they just call the phone book, Dr. Malcolm? How do we get into Rimrock? What's the first step?
So the first step would probably be, if you go to our website, you can call us. You can also email us. I think Kathy gets the emails.
I do.
So if you email us, and then we can kind of triage to say what service might be best. And it might be starting off with an assessment. You know, they might say, like, I know I'm not doing okay, but I don't really know what. Well, let's get you an assessment. Let's sit down with someone who's trained, licensed, and say, what really do you need? And then let's talk to you about, this is what I think you need. This is what might help. What, these are your options. What do you want to do with it? Giving back some of that control, because that's another part of, you know, mental health and substance use. You often feel like your life is completely out of control. So if I can give you a little bit more control, what would you like to do with this? Here's what I see the problem is. What would you like to do? Oh, I've got a little bit more control, right? Yeah. So I would go to the website. I would email us. You can call us, and then we figure out what's going to be the best fit for you.
I love it. You guys get in, get help.
Right. And that's the thing is just ask the question. Mm-hmm. And as we said, when we have our dual licensed counselors, you may have it in your brain that you have one problem and we're going to uncover that maybe that isn't really what it was.
Exactly.
Or we know what caused that. It isn't just that you're a bad person and you eat, you know, a whole pizza. You know, what is that underlying?
Yeah, I'm a bad person and I eat a whole pizza. Yeah, not because. Yeah. These are co-occurring
issues. Exactly. But that's the beauty of it, is that you get to be able to go to one place and have that relationship with your counselor, and they're not going to just say, okay, go down the street. They're going to go. You can still walk by and say hello to Malcolm in the morning. You can still do all of those things that that just builds that community from the ground up.
And here's why you call Malcolm. So he said, last time I tried counseling, I had to go to a place my insurance approved, and the counselor found out I have a master's degree in psychology and told me she couldn't be of any assistance to me.
Malcolm has
way more letters after her name than you do, guaranteed. So she will be happy to help you.
I'm going for every letter of the alphabet after my name.
Yes.
I think we need Z yet.
Right? We're working on that one. Rimrock.org?
Yes.
Rimrock.org. It is. And it's always changing. It's always updating. Like this month's blog was on mental health and what you can do and what we can do to help you. So it's always changing. And that's what's great about it. And our lives change. So maybe this month you do need something for mental health. Maybe some next week you run into somebody that really just needs to know, what can I do about that? Meth, we have it, or whatever it was.
Point them in the right direction.
Right. Yeah. That just...
Meth, we're on it.
At least it got us talking about the problem.
Exactly. That's what the governor said. But they made fun of the governor.
Let's
she goes, we want people to talk about it.
And, you know, I kind of, you know, trash their marketing person, but still, I don't know.
I know. It's one of those, you got to think about it.
You
got to take some time.
You're right.
We're talking about it.
So, you know, at the end of the day, the marketing person.
It trended on Twitter all day yesterday. Yeah, it's nationwide. They made fun of it on the NBC Nightly News. It's making big time. So everybody knows who's on it.
I have to retract what I said.
At least it shines the spotlight away from us. Before people were like, oh, Montana, they're the meth people. Now it's like, no, South Dakota, they're on it.
They're the ones right on it.
Montana hasn't heard about it for a while. South Dakota,
they're on
it. They're
on track.
Not us.
Exactly.
But they just, like, in their state, 75% chums, is that how much it was of the meth there?
Like
84% of their drug crimes are meth. So they're saying, like, when they come into jail.
Not far behind that. Last time I looked, it was like 70 something. So, I mean,
so we're on it.
I mean, we have what, how many shootings in the last 10 days? And so I want to place bets on how many of those involve drugs.
Probably.
Gambling's an addiction too.
No, that's right.
That's tough. You guys, get a hold of anybody over there. Rimrock.org. Great people looking to help. And again, whatever it may be, whether it's just mental health or addiction or both, or you don't even know what it is, let the experts
figure it out.
Points in the right direction. I love it. Kathy, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Dr. Malcolm, always a pleasure.
Thank you for having us. It's a great way to start my day.
Get more letters.
And thank you, McLovin's.
Yes, mostly thank you to McLovin. Look at all those buttons he just pushed. He got us all lined out and he's ready to go. I love it. You guys, rimrock.org. Check it out.